Welcome to the Week in Review, a conversation amongst some of the staff of ABC Gippsland about the happenings of the previous 7 days. My name's Gerry Callan, and station manager, joined in the studio by morning show extraordinaire Celine Fernanda. Welcome to you.
You're back.
Yeah, apparently so.
You're here. People will be saying, who is that? Oh, it's Jared. Thank goodness you introduced yourself.
Well, I thought I had to, given my absence of recent weeks.
There's been lots of tears while you've been away.
And some since I've returned, I think it's fair to say. Gus Goswell is also with us. Always a pleasure, Gusto.
Hi, Jared.
Now, tell me, let's go to one of those stories. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It was hot before I went away. It's hot now. Carbon tax.
I thought you were going to say the freeway at Morwell.
No. It was nice to see that open, though. Carbon tax. We're going to have a carbon tax. It's now 99% official. It went through the lower house to cheers and jeers, and will probably go through the Senate. I think not till next month, though.
It takes a little while to get to the Senate, but the bills that will set up the carbon tax, or the carbon price, as the government calls it, pass through the lower house of federal parliament, the House of Representatives, by 74 votes to 72 this week. That means, as you say, the bills go up to the Senate, and once they pass the Senate, they become legislation, but that's pretty much guaranteed with the structure of the Senate at the moment. So this week has seen, as the week, from the government's point of view, a historic week where Australia, in the words of the government, stops talking and starts acting. To stop climate change, the federal opposition sees it as a tax that they'll rip up if they come into government. But as it stands now, Australia looks set to have a carbon price from the middle of next year.
And in Gippsland, Celine Fernanda, what does this mean?
Well, it means that at least there'll be some certainty now for the planning of how the transition away from coal-fired generation will take place, or the reliance on some of our communities on coal-fired power and the coal industry will take place. Interesting, though, speaking with a couple of local government representatives, Councillor Darren McCubbin, Councillor Darryl White, who are part of the Coal Communities Council of Victoria, the representing Victoria's New South Wales and Queensland's interests in that industry. They were saying that there's still so much more you can do with coal besides burning it and letting off emissions. And they still seem to be putting a fair bit of emphasis on that. But what they want now is a social impact study to be undertaken. And there have been a lot of calls for a long time for this. And government has yet to come forward to do that study.
What? I couldn't believe Darren or Daryl was saying this on Tuesday or Wednesday, excuse my vagueness there. How on earth have we got to this stage and they haven't done some sort of social impact statement?
Well, I'm as equally surprised that people, whether that be just your average Joes or whether they be people in some authority, are saying, well, this is going to hit your region hard. Yeah, we kind of know that, but we don't know for sure how hard and what it is. I'm seriously as surprised as you are that this hasn't been
done. The federal
done.
Government, though, has made it clear, I think, that the majority of that compensation package, which they've got, about that $200 million that I think is wrapped up in all these bills, which most people in the Latrobe Valley are saying, we need to be talking a billion, really, to compensate communities
that,
in coal areas. But I think the government's made it pretty clear that most of that will go to the Latrobe Valley.
Yeah, will it?
But
you've got some big players. You've got Hunter Valley as well. They're not going to be saying, oh, yeah, you guys have 80%, we'll take 20%.
In South Australia too, where some of their coal-fired power stations are up for closure.
Yeah.
I think now, I mean, I know the coal councils have been working very closely together, but there's got to be a sense of competition now to get a government
slice
attention.
For the cake.
Yeah, sure.
You talked in your first statement about it providing certainty.
Mm.
And let's not talk about industry, let's not talk about elected officials, let's talk about Mr. and Mrs. Average.
Yep.
Does that now mean that there's a certainty that they're screwed? Or does that now mean that there's certainty that there's a different future awaits them that has tinges of
optimism?
There's still a few steps
to go. We don't even know which power stations are going to nominate to be compensated for closure by the federal government. I think those companies have to lodge their expressions of interest in the contract for closure scheme by the end of this month. The talk is, and it's talk quite high up, that Hazelwood Power Station, International Power, Hazelwood's going to be one of those. If one of the Latrobe Valley power stations does close, then clearly that means jobs are going to be lost in the Latrobe Valley. But I think until we start seeing something definite like that, it's a bit hard to talk about it. I mean, that obviously there's a lot of concern in the Latrobe Valley, and not just in the Latrobe Valley. I mean, people commute into the valley from all over Gippsland.
I think that concern is driven by the wider debate, which people read about in the newspapers or hear on the news. It's this whole throng of people saying, this is bad for us, this is bad for us, and slowly,
Bills increase or...
Yeah, but slowly, slowly people coming on board, not really understanding how it could be good, but more going along with the argument that it will be bad. I think a lot of people are doing that. I'm not saying that everybody is ill-informed or ill-educated, but there's a majority of people that are going along for a ride.
Well, the dominant conversation is that this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And in terms of the media war, if you want to call it that way, the opposition, its message is getting aired, perhaps because it's a simpler message, ahead of the government's message. And so that would indicate that would reflect perhaps what you're observing, that people have got on board and gone on that side of the argument.
Sure, sure. And I mean, it could be for valid reason, but we don't have a social impact study to measure these kinds of things. And as Darren McCubbin was saying, he was saying, look, let's try and leave that mindset behind that we're right in the poo with this and try and look at how we might build a new environment, a new industry here or new set of industries here in Gippsland. And I think the real worry is for a lot of people is they can't actually see it because there's nothing there in front of them, no real plan or no real company that are coming in on the white horse to rescue Gippsland.
And I think from the federal government's point of view, they would just be can't wait for the 1st of July next year when this thing actually comes into effect and people can start making it a part of their real life? Or do you think that would just bring to sharper focus the cost or the impact that there does have on ordinary people?
Yeah, look, I think if the level of compensation to households is as the government says, and people just go back to what they do every day, you know, going to work, taking the kids to school, all those kinds of things, and they might not see the impact. It's those people who will be affected in terms of job losses and the like that will probably see the real impact. And I happened to bump into a senior manager with one of the power stations only yesterday, and I was really surprised because he's been in the industry a long, long time, and he pretty much said to me, we're screwed.
Really?
And I was horrified.
Why didn't we start with that?
What?
The comment.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's pretty much said that. And I thought, it was almost like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders.
But what does that mean for the certainty idea that businesses just want to know what's going on?
No, I think from the certainty is that you can't go out and attract businesses or alternative industries if there's no certainty in terms of what the government is doing with a carbon price or, you know, where am I going to set up? What's the competition going to be? Will I now be industry number one in Gippsland and make a lot of money? You know, like, you can't really go and tap someone on the shoulder, can you?
We're going to have to move on. We could talk about this for the whole of the week in review, but we shan't because we have talked about
we've
it a lot
and
we will we will continue to talk about it.
Is there anything left to talk about on it? No.
Yes.
Is there?
There is.
Oh, I think there's a lot.
Next week.
Is there?
Next week. There's another page to turn on Dantley. Okay. Let's switch tack completely. And we sit in the studios here of ABC Gippsland on the cusp of the Princes Highway, relatively quiet, not quite so much earlier in the week with all those fabulous motorcycles going by. I hadn't appreciated that until I heard on your news bulletin this morning, Gus, from the gentleman from, I think, the Bass Coast Shire. This is Gippsland's, regional Victoria's biggest event. This is the Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix.
And all those riders are there on the Barry Sheen ride going through Gippsland, and they're all heading in one direction, straight to Phillip Island, because that's where the MotoGP is on this weekend. And the Bass Coast Shire Council's events coordinator, Frank Angerain, made some really interesting comments about that. He was saying that the event, the whole weekend, and they're expecting about 100,000 people at the Phillip Island Race Circuit this weekend, is worth about $25 to $30 million to the local economy, and that it's regional Victoria's biggest event.
I hadn't thought about that.
That shocked me a little bit, but Mark DeBono and I were trying to think over in the newsroom a little bit earlier today, and we can't think of any other bigger events. No. And it is a huge amount of money coming in. Accommodation is almost completely booked out, not just on the island, but also in Wonthaggi and Inverloch and smaller places around there, Venus Bay, that kind of thing. Just a huge amount of money. Great for the local restaurants, great for the local accommodation providers, great for the petrol stations, obviously, because it's all about revving. People going hard on the clutch and needing more petrol. or on the accelerator. And just a huge event for the local area, and at a time when there wouldn't necessarily be a whole lot going on in the Bass Coast Shire. Now, school holidays have finished. It's not summer yet.
Remind me not to buy a motorcycle off you. Celine Fernanda, we go to you as the woman of experience here.
Do you remember
when it first...
I went when Wayne Gardner won...
Back in the day.
Yeah. It was terrific. Easy to get onto the island. Took hours to get off. We were sort of stuck on the same point in the road, and everybody got out of their cars and had a little game of cricket on the side because we were stopped there for at least two or three hours.
Couldn't get off the island. Or does everyone come home on the Monday?
That was on Sunday night because we had to go to work the next day because I was there in a work capacity. But, we were stuck. You couldn't get off. You couldn't overtake anyone, you know. It puts forward the argument of a bigger bridge for San Remo.
The council says that they've worked really hard again this year to try and have some sort of arrangements whereby they'll ease that traffic. But I think inevitably there'll be a few games of cricket happening on the road.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see, and blessed with weather, and also keep our fingers crossed, no major injuries or incidents with motorcycle riders doing themselves harm. Well,
Casey Stoner's going for the championship, isn't he?
Five times, I think.
Equal.
And police say that the danger period is
Monday, Tuesday.
And there have been a few motorbike accidents, and a motorcyclist was killed north of Orbost late on Thursday afternoon. A gentleman coming down from New South Wales.
That was a Grand Prix
with
related.
A passenger. Well, there were two. They were in a convoy of two motorbikes. Mm. So this is speculation, but it appears they were heading towards the Grand Prix and motorcyclist hit a four-wheel drive, and a man in his 50s died up there.
I misspoke in that case. That's very sad. Okay. Mm. Warragul Business District and rates. This is this notion that came out in their draft budget a couple of months ago that undeveloped sites in the Baw-Baw Shire would be rated at a higher rate, partly to encourage those people to actually develop what are seen as eyesores around, particularly, I think, the CBD of Warragul.
I think we misunderstood that.
Yeah, this one's really blown up, hasn't it, in the last couple of weeks?
What's happened in the last couple of weeks?
It is a little complicated, not having much of a background in council rates or in the economics of this, but in its budget this year, the Baw-Baw Shire Council did something new. They introduced a new differential for businesses for properties that it says are underdeveloped. So these aren't just properties in Warragul. This is all over the Shire.
We've heard
in Druin and in other places, perhaps around Trafalgar as well, that this land can have buildings on them, but a property valuer went through and found that in the recent past, nothing had been done to add value to the property. And so the council hit the property owners with a differential. And a group of landholders says that some of them are paying up to 120% more than they did last year, and they see this as unfair or an overreaction from the council. The council says it's all about encouraging people to stimulate the local economy by developing their land, but we're at this standoff now.
Mm. The interesting thing was, like you, Jez, I thought it was for those eyesore blocks that might have overgrown and have an old derelict building on it and the developer just hasn't got around to putting anything on it. But it seems that those who are now being charged this rate do have operating businesses on them. They just haven't value added to those businesses for some time or put bigger buildings on there or done more with that land.
Yeah,
which I thought was quite interesting.
And I think it's taken a little while for the landholders to understand this as well, because it's a few months since the council budget came down. But there was a meeting in the Baw-Baw Shire last week where about 40 landholders turned up and they passed a number of resolutions of that, one of which is to challenge this differential at VCAT, and a few of those landholders have already written to VCAT and they expect others will. And so they've really come out this week, and one of the landholders, Terry Williamson, made himself available to the ABC and also to the local media in the Baw-Baw Shire, saying that these landholders are determined to do what they can to fight this because they see that the council's really trying something on here and they're not happy about it. The council's standing firm, saying that this differential was applied on the basis of the findings of an independent valuer. So they say that they need to do this, otherwise there won't be development or industrial and commercial development, which he says is needed because the population, as we know in the Baw-Baw Shire, is expanding, I think, at about 3.5%
a year. Quicker than anywhere else in Gippsland.
So they're saying, well, industry and commercial enterprises need to keep pace with this. We need new infrastructure.
Surely, I imagine that the Baw-Baw Shire have checked with the local or the their legal advisers to make sure that this is constitutional within their remit and so on? Has that question been asked of Diane Blackwood, the mayor of the shop?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because when they were initially putting it together and came up with this, dotting their I's and crossing their T's, they were pretty thorough in how they're going about it. And there was quite a fair bit of consultation when it was released as draft policy. And there were a couple of business breakfasts where they explained it. And I think at that time it was going to affect more than 100 properties. And that has been whittled down now. So yeah, those property owners that have been slugged are saying, well, what happened to the other
60?
Yeah, how come they're not falling into this now?
So what's next with this? We wait for their
VCAT. Well, we wait to see when the cases appear in VCAT. The council is showing no signs that it's going to drop the differential. So it seems inevitable that if the landholders want to do anything about this, they will have to go through VCAT, which can be quite a long process and I imagine possibly an expensive one too. So it'll become a question of whether or not it's worth pursuing this to its ultimate end. But they've certainly raised some questions and mobilised a bit of community support. It'd be interesting to see where it goes from here. Can't really see anything other than a bit of a protracted fight through VCAT at the moment.
Baulbush Eye isn't going to change its mind. You asked Councillor Blackwood that and she said no. She goes, if they have an issue, well, I have to keep pushing it forward.
One other thing. I have some notes here in front of me. what's this? It strikes me that in my absence there was a sporting event.
Old news, Jess.
Yeah.
News.
This is a week in review.
It's not even news.
Do people still talk about Kennedy being assassinated? Do people still talk about man landing on the moon? Yes, they do. Geelong.
Who does? Last time you talked about man on the moon, Gussie?
Oh, I've only seen conspiracy theorists with their wacky docos.
They are quite wacky. But as a Collingwood supporter, you must applaud the mighty blue and white for their victory a couple of weeks ago now, admittedly, but it's still fresh in my memory. Gus, over to you.
Well, it's a bit of a mood killer, but, I feel like we've dealt with this on the record. I've made Celine and I both acknowledged Geelong's victory.
Yes.
We do, up in the ABC Gippsland office, there is a poster of the premiership team, which assaults our eyeballs every day.
It is. We live this horror every day, don't we?
It's really hard to come to work sometimes.
It is, isn't it? It's sort of like, you get up early, come in, and then there is the poster. There's Jez with his...
smile.
Oh, he's got a Collingwood jumper.
It's the All Blacks, actually.
It's all eyes to New Zealand now with the Rugby World Cup anyway.
Let's
so that's what we're focusing on.
Let's wear gold.
Fans.
Well, who's wearing gold today? Oh, gold ring?
Yeah, green and gold. The Australians playing two forms, actually. There's a
rugby league
test and a rugby union game. Australia versus New Zealand on Sunday afternoon should be a huge one.
I go for Australia now. Let's change it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't got any John Williamson lined up to
Can't
play for you, I'm
not
afraid.
Not even the national anthem?
No.
Does Meatloaf sing the national anthem?
I think we can get him to. He's in between engagements at the moment.
That was the real story.
Yes, I believe it was. Fabulous to sit down with you once again. Thank you so much.
Welcome back.
Thank you. And we'll catch you next week.
Cheerio.
Thanks, mates.